that's fine. That's fine. Yes, right. As we know, the overarching objective of this workshop is to study the role of knowledge, beliefs, and representations of climate change phenomena from an interdisciplinary perspective. And of course, that's already been shown very clearly here today. In this talk, I would like to focus on how scientific knowledge is presented to lay publics through various lenses, so to speak. The lenses, or frames, as we tend to call them, make different aspects of the science and the implications the science have on humans and society visible. My disciplinary point of departure is linguistics, but the discussion to some extent also draws on other fields and disciplines, such as oceanography, psychology, science and technology studies, and media science. I have been doing research on the linguistic representation of the climate issue for a couple of years now, and I'm currently a member of the so-called, well, it's an interdisciplinary project, LingClim, which some of you may be familiar with from the workshop I think you had here in March. I will start with just a few words on this project before I continue with perhaps the main focus of this talk, which is the notions of frames and framing, and I understand that our next speaker will also address that issue. And then I will try to show how I have applied my understanding of frames and framing in a particular experiment, a study on dealing with geoengineering, which I again understand, or I'm sure that most of you at least have heard about, and some of you are probably quite familiar with what that implies. And then, of course, you also know that it is a controversial issue, and it's still in what we understand as an emerging phase. So nothing much has been settled, neither in terms of the science or people's perception of the science. The experiment I'm going to present or that I've studied is actually one of the very few geoengineering experiments so far that has been carried out, let's say, in real life, apart from just having been written about in scientific papers. So for my project, the LingClim project, I've just given here the overarching hypothesis and the objective. So I'll just read that very fast. Linguistic representations, language, that is. Well, I've got it. Okay. Which, don't worry. So linguistic representations influence which knowledge structures and connotations that are activated and which inferences that are drawn by people. So the importance of language in all this. And the objective of the project is to generate new and integrated knowledge about the role of language in climate change discourse through developing and what we hope will be an innovative multidisciplinary methodology, including an opinion survey, which is carried out as we speak, November this year, by or organized by our political scientist, who's part of the LingClim group. And in 2014, spring 2014, we will have a psychological experiment, something along the lines that was indicated this morning. And in addition, of course, we will do comprehensive linguistic analyses. So my project or my study today will, of course, fall into that particular category. Then I get to these notions of frames and framing. Could I just ask by a show of hands, how many of you are familiar with framing as a concept in this respect? Yeah, quite a few, good. Let me just say that for me, this is my first study within framing as such. I've read quite a bit about framing, because as we, or those of you who know with the notion, know that there are framing studies undertaken within many discourse-based disciplines within the social sciences, humanities, linguistics, perhaps in particular. And I have two worries here, and hopefully those worries, well, some of you may have ideas on how to solve those worries. The first one is, what level to posit a frame? What is a frame? And my second worry, I'll get back to this a little bit, is how can I, as a linguist, prove, or what kind of evidence can I put forward to say that, yes, this is the frame that has been used in this particular case? So the linguistic evidence, what form does it take? Where can I point in the text and say, yes, this is a framing element? And also this issue of the level of the frame. Again, as I said, I'll show a little bit more about that in a minute. But the sort of common denominator for these various disciplines that deal with framing in studies could be said to be concepts and theoretical approaches related to how individuals and groups organize, perceive, and communicate about the world. When I started to look into the concept of, or concepts of frames and framing, they are clearly interrelated. It seems to me that within social sciences, you tend to deal with framing, the process of framing. So you are looking at a strategic choice that you make subconsciously or consciously when you write or produce a text. I've given just a couple of examples from two disciplines which tend to talk about framing quite a lot. That's psychology with experimental studies and also media studies undertaking content analysis of news texts and to see how a concept is discursively constructed through a particular lens. So all the references can be found in full in my PowerPoint presentation, which I understand will be available on your website. In linguistics, there has also been quite a lot of talk about frames in particular. So to me, it seems as in linguistics, frames are sort of the focus. You look at objects and try to describe objects in either typical features, for instance, what does it mean when you have a restaurant scene, what kind of issues can you expect? Or, of course, it could be more strategic there as well, how to present climate change as a metaphor, for instance. So the object seems to be in focus there. Again, I've given a few studies. There aren't all that many studies emanating from linguistics that deal with framing, but here are a few, an English or British-based environment dealing with metaphor studies in particular. Sorry about that. I should have switched earlier. When it comes to frames and framing and the studies so far having been undertaken in terms of geoengineering and frames, it seems that so far most of them have involved the technology and also the socioeconomic issues involved in geoengineering approaches. There have been far fewer studies that also deal with the lay public's experiences and perceptions of the issue. So the concerns that we saw quite early in terms of other new technologies that have been introduced in the debate in recent years, for instance, nanotechnology, seems to have had more of that public participation than geoengineering so far has had. There is a fairly recent study, as you can see, and I find it a very interesting study, which has undertaken an assessment of all the geoengineering studies that have been carried out so far. And this is by Bellamy et al. 2012. They found, or their take on framing is somewhat different, as you can see here. It's not based on discourse, but it's based on what kind of studies have been undertaken. And again, we see that if we look at contextual features of those studies, the expert analytic studies have are more numerous than the participatory deliberative studies, so that we find a lot of computer modeling, we find economic assessments, and we find expert review. So it's mainly in the field of the expert so far. The participatory deliberative studies with surveys and focus groups and deliberative workshops are beginning to emerge, but they are far fewer so far. And then, as I said, one of my worries was, when I was dealing with framing, was what kind of level should I posit the frame at? What is a frame? And we have different studies that have used different approaches here. There is, for instance, one study by Keith, 2000, which had a very broad perspective and said that we could talk about economics frames, risk frames, political frames, environmental ethics frames. Other studies have had a slightly more, slightly narrower focus with technological progress. Risk was also in that particular study, and regulation frame. And here again, I've given an example by Weaver et al. 2009. Then we have even more specific level frames, such as Plan B, which is a frame perhaps dating back, well, not dating back, but at least present in the UK Royal Society's report on geoengineering from 2009. And we have the same frame also present in one of the metaphor studies that I showed on an earlier slide by Neerlich and Jespal 2012. And my worries, I think, are shared by others. It's not just me who's worrying about this. And I quote here from an article on framing from 1993 by Robert Entman. And he said at that time, despite its omnipresence across the social sciences and humanities, nowhere is there a general statement of framing theory that shows exactly how frames become embedded within text and make themselves manifest in text. So how do they come about, and what linguistic evidence do we have to posit that they are there? Then I move on to the study that I undertook in this perspective on geoengineering. My knowledge of geoengineering has been quite fragmentary until fairly recently. I was introduced to the topic as such by our geophysicist of the Linkling Group in a talk he gave to PhD students. And I found it, both scary and fascinating. And I understood quite early that we were talking about two different techniques, the solar radiation management and the carbon dioxide removal. So I'm not going to go into that. You probably have some idea, and some of you may know a lot more about what those two techniques may imply. But then, since I wanted to look at how texts dealt with the issue, I started looking for texts with the word geoengineering in them. After a while, I came up with actually two texts which referred to the same study, which I thought was interesting, so that you could actually see how one particular scientific experiment had been presented to a lay public through a news text. So I looked for more texts in that category dealing with the same experiment. And after a while, I ended up with six texts. And this has to do with ocean iron fertilization, meaning that it is in the category of CO2 removal technique as a geoengineering technique. The report or the experiment was reported in the scientific journal Nature in 2012, and you have the title here. So it is a news text, it's a scientific article, Deep Carbon Export from the Southern Ocean Iron Fertilized Diatome Bloom. I don't know how your knowledge of all this is, but let me just say that the main novelty feature of this particular study was that the scientists were able to show that, well, you have ocean iron fertilization, meaning that you get an increase in bloom, in plankton, And at this particular study, they were able to show what happened to the plankton, because that had been very unclear in previous studies, because waters, of course, mix. So how could you trace that particular plankton and say that, yes, it has there is so much, and it's falling to the deep sea, and therefore taking the carbon dioxide with it. But in this particular study, they were able to show this in by using a swirling current, which is a sort of a self-contained unit, an eddy, and could trace what happened to that particular plankton as it fell to the deep sea. So the six texts I ended up with, and I don't have time to go into whether we should, let's say, at least not from a genre, linguistics genre perspective, compare texts like this, but they were still dealing with the same event, so I thought it could make sense. So I have one text from Scientific American, Controversial Spewed Iron Experiment Succeeds as Carbon Sink, New York Times, A Way to Trap Carbon in the Deep Sea, Deep in the Ocean, Washington Post, Could Plankton Help Us Save, Tackle Climate Change, The Guardian, Dumping Iron at Sea, Can Bury Carbon for Centuries, study shows, and The Daily Mail, Could Dumping into the Ocean Cure Climate Change, First Geoengineering Trial is Hailed a Success. So that's the Daily Mail take. We've solved the problem already. And the BBC, Climate Ocean Tech Fix Can Work, research suggests. So then, I had to make a choice. What kind of elements could I look at in these texts and say that this had to do with framing? I decided to look for two elements which I could call genre-specific, since there were news texts. I looked at the headlines, and I looked at the sources brought into the texts. And then I looked at two elements which are typical or related to the topic I was dealing with, namely the linguistic context of the word geoengineering, how was it talked about in the text, and I also looked at something which cropped up during the analysis. I looked at statements about the time aspect involved in the sinking of the CO2, so to speak. If we then start by looking at the headline, we see here that quite a few of the six texts were dealing with this as a scientific experiment. And we see this in the lexis in these six titles, experiment, study, trial, and research. And also the New York Times doesn't have those words, but trapping carbon, of course, also refers to the science. So it was clearly, at that point, framed as a scientific experiment. If I then go on to the linguistic context of the word geoengineering as it appeared in these texts, we see that for the Daily Mail, trial, geoengineering trial, hailed a success. So I've indicated that in green, positive success. And for the BBC, they explained geoengineering approaches as technical fixes. Again, I think fix can be seen as a very positive word. You've solved the problem. New York Times, a useful geoengineering technique, against sort of indicating a positive attitude, at least. For the Washington Post, we see a rather different kind of wording to explain what this is. They talk about scientists dreaming up all sorts of zany geoengineering schemes. So I've marked these in red because I think they indicate some kind of, this is strange, this is science fiction almost. But it turns out that this is just the rhetorical let's say the rhetorical mechanism used by this particular journalist to start off his text. He, in the later sentences, states that actually this can work. So it's not science fiction after all, it can work. So to some extent also turning towards the positive approach. Then we see The Guardian, or one quote from The Guardian, stating that these technologies are controversial. Critics are warning of unintended environmental side effects, or they may be encouraging complacency. So again, a rather negative framing of the concept as such. Again, a quote from The Guardian in the next quote here. where the, he is quoting the main source of, or the main lead author of the article, he talks about some geoengineering techniques being more dangerous than others. But then in the next sentence, he states, doing nothing is probably the worst option. So balancing the picture, if you like. If we look at the sources, and there were quite a few sources, and the main author of the article was quoted, as we can imagine, quite a few times, but also others were heard. And many of the sources were focusing on the science. They were let into the text through quotes about the science. And some of them were fairly detailed, as you can see here. We had instruments that we could deploy, 3,800 meters. While the experiment was going on, we saw the stock started to sink. They went down very fast. Such controlled fertilization experiments made it possible to test hypotheses. So science frame there. Then we might think that, well, this is just a neutral text. It's talking about the science. It was a scientific experiment. It's a science. But notice this quote from Corner et al., 2012. It's a psychological study. It's impossible to eliminate framing effects altogether. Even a presentation that just stuck to the science and did not introduce any social or ethical questions whatsoever would actually contain a very strong framing that geoengineering is simply a scientific issue with no broader societal implications. So even science could actually be said to be a strong framing approach. Then we have other aspects also brought into the text through one source, Professor John Shepherd, who chaired the Royal Society report. He said that governance should also be an issue discussed in terms of geoengineering. Who is supposed to regulate the issues? And in the Washington Post, they talked about artificially mucking with ocean ecology in this way. So yet another aspect than just the science. And from the BBC, this is not a solution. The first thing we need to do is to reduce emissions. So that cannot be, we don't have just a fix here. We still have to look at how to cut emissions. I said that one extra element, framing element, as I saw it, cropped up during the analysis, and that was that time aspect. It turned out that most of the texts, again, talking about six texts, four of the texts, were very positive here. And this is echoing the article in Nature. They said that the CO2 removed through the plankton would take it away for centuries, which, of course, is interpreted positively. But there were also two negative evaluations of the same fact. We can agree, yes, we're talking about, say, 100 years or more, but the Scientific American said, but such fall in carbon only resides in the deep for a few centuries at best. So taking a negative stand on the same time frame. And the same was found in The Guardian, in the body of the text, I should say, because they have a positive review of this in their headline, which was probably written by another one, and not the journalist who wrote the body of the text, but a sub-editor, which is typical for news texts. He also said, this is the source quoted, it only lasts for decades or centuries. So again, giving a negative twist to the experiment. When I summed up all my information, I don't have time to go into detail of that here, but the linguistic evidence that I found in these six texts, I found, and then again, this is my take on the frames, I posited three main frames, even if I would say all the texts, apart from the Daily Mail text, which stuck only to the science, all the others brought in other elements as well, the governance, mucking with the oceans, etc., I could still put the text into these three categories as the main frame. So most of them, as you can see here, deal with the scientific progress frame, which I would say is a positive frame in a way. The science is good. So New York Times, Washington Post, Daily Mail and the BBC were into that category. For messing with a planet, which was another frame I posited, I found Scientific American only in that frame, while, as you can see here, the Guardian text, in fact, spanned two main frames. So it was bringing in a lot of information and a lot of various issues related to climate change, geoengineering. So the Guardian was also talking not only about messing with the planet, but also with a plan B. We need a plan B because the emissions cuts are not sufficient. So that's it.